The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Are you sure with those shitty headphones on?
You know what?
Your brand new shitty headphones?
They're skull awesome. Candy, bro. They're good.
See, why did you have to put the brand on? Now everybody's thinking I'm a dick. Everyone's like, I have skull candy.
The only people that are going to think you're a dick are the ones that have already think.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. And you know what, though? Here's the thing.
What did we do the stats on it, Justin? What was it? 72.7%?
72? People think he's a dick? Yeah, I think.
Roughly.
I like 25% of you. Sal, we talked earlier, in previous episodes about, if we were stupid rich that we would not, spend money. Sal would go and what were you going to do? He's going to start nonprofits and travel seas and have all these teachers come to his house, but he wouldn't buy a fucking Lamborghini.
No.
it's obvious because the guy could definitely afford a nice pair of headphones. We do fucking record in a professional studio and everything like that, but he goes out and spends $40 on a pair of fucking skull candy headphones.
I can't hear you. You know what though? They work all right. I can hear everything. I'm fine. Yeah. I don't need $500.
I'm fine, man.
I don't need $500 fucking headphones just because Dr. Dre, put his name on them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Brother. It matters.
He's a good guy, by the way. I heard he's a good guy. I heard
he's the man.
He's only hit like four women.
Yeah, well,
he's a great, great person.
He put out an apology to all the bitches.
Yeah,
yeah.
I definitely want to spend money on
all
his products.
Hey, bro. don't even get me started with media twist and shit.
I like to listen to Chris Brown on my Beats headphones. And, and then on top of that, he names them Beats.
Oh, man. irony.
That way he could tell us.
You're so
that way
bad.
He could tell his girlfriend, hey, honey, you want some Beats? All right.
You have no business going off a tabloid bullshit, especially on a subject like that. You know how that is. It's just you know what I'm saying?
And it's just fun.
We both know you are not well read in hip hop for sure.
No. No.
You totally just said, Chris Brown's probably a fucking listener. Now he's not listening to Mind Pump anymore. He's just totally offended.
You know what? I really don't care, actually, if he doesn't listen anymore. I really don't care.
You don't?
No. No. I don't like his music either.
You don't?
Nah. Dude, did you guys see that?
I love the way he dances.
Yeah, he does dance. Did you see that that press conference with the boxers? Fuck, what's the guy's name?
Mayweather?
Mosley?
Shane Mosley? Yeah.
And was it Mayorga?
His comeback. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you guys see the press conference? What happened?
Without you even telling me, I can give you a guess just to show you that this is just trying to promote. Dude, he's coming out of retirement.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Let's see if you can guess.
I guarantee they started a bunch of fucking drama and stuff like that to make it sound all crazy, like it's going to be a fight and stuff like that. But he's old. Mm-hmm. He's old, bro. He's done.
No, that's not what happened.
What happened? Tell me.
So they're doing the press conference, right? Yeah. They're like standing there looking at each other, whatever. Sugar Shane Mosley's girlfriend is there. You can see this shit online. She bends over to like grab something because they're moving, and fucking Mayorga spanks her in the ass, dude.
No way.
Right in front.
Come on, bro. Totally staged.
Right in front.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Come on.
You think that was staged?
That's a new level right
there.
Dude,
you and I are going to fight, bro. You and I are going to fight, and your wife bends over in front of me. I just fucking smack her ass, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
There's no way
you think
we don't.
The three of them planned that?
Hell yes, they did.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I saw that, and I was like, wow.
But it just goes to show how well that stuff worked. I mean, that to me.
Wow, yeah, that is like great, marketing. You're going to get all kinds of fire and attention.
It's the one thing, like, to me, I love a fight, which I think everybody does, whether it be boxing, MMA, where there is some real animosity. But to me, I can always tell the difference between like a real animosity between two fighters versus the two guys that decided, let's promote this fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what a lot of these guys
do. It is pretty brilliant. If it's planned, it's pretty brilliant. Yeah. 'Cause it did get me heated.
No,
because I saw that and I was like, oh, that like, motherfucker. Oh,
yeah. You know, it's the new thing to do now because people are real, especially with social media and the things get shared. It's like, yeah. You know, that I wouldn't even watch that fight, but now I'm interested in watching that fight.
Because you're right. Yeah. I feel like such a fucking idiot. You guys you're not. I fell for it.
You're not an idiot. I think, I mean.
No, it's, yeah. It's,
this
it's,
is why everybody needs a wizard. Yeah. Everybody needs a wizard because then otherwise you'd fall for shit.
Yeah, dude, it hits that primal thing. You're like, no.
Yeah, he smacked my wife's. I would kill him. I would kill that motherfucker.
Oh, dude. Dude, I would have murdered him right there for everybody. Sure. I would have lost I wouldn't care.
And that's how you know it's because that really did go down like that, dude.
Yeah, because he kind of reached for, because what's his name? Mosley kind of reached for his neck and then they pulled him off. But he didn't like lose his shit. He didn't like lose his mind.
Yeah, dude.
So and then afterwards, his girlfriend's like, you better beat him. You better kick his ass. And he's like, I will, honey. I will.
I got this, hon.
I got it.
Oh, here's, I think, one of the most brilliant. You guys ever watched the 24/7 leading up to fights? And you know who started that? Oscar De La Hoya started that.
Yeah, I remember that. Oscar De La Hoya.
That saved boxing, in my opinion.
It was super interesting to watch that.
I have purchased at least 10 fights that I would never have watched
because
I watched
it's basically a commercial.
They hype it up.
It's a long commercial.
Yeah, it's a long commercial and you get so into their training and the shit talking going back and forth up in training camp. You're like, I gotta see this. Maybe he's got a chance.
Yeah, you guys remember John Jones in like DC? Like when John Jones was in the other room, I think it was in the ESPN studio or whatever, and the mics were quote unquote turned off.
Yeah.
And the camera's still running, you know, and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'll fucking kill you and all this stuff. Like back and forth, they're just like, you know, and that's the best shit talking you've ever heard.
Check out this leaked video.
And that's just it. That's where it's going, you know. And I don't know. To me, it kind of ruins it a little bit. But I mean, I guess if it fools you and gets you to watch the fight and you have a great time watching the fight, then who cares, right?
It's
entertaining. It's like WWF, right?
It is. It totally is.
You know, everybody.
It's kind of fun to watch.
You have to be emotionally connected.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Even though WWE and whatever, it's no longer WWF. I'm calling it what I watched it when it was WWF.
World Wildlife Federation.
No, World Wrestling Federation.
I know. Obviously, of course. Come on. The real name, dude.
Yeah, it's the original name, right? Those guys. You know, if you're a huge fan, which there's fucking more wrestling fans than there are football fans, you know, you know it's fake, but you respect the athleteism and the entertainment value of it, you know? So I guess maybe it's kind of the same thing, but then.
And your Ric Flairs who could talk awesome shit.
Oh,
it's so good.
You know, though, I don't know. I think there's a good debate in this, actually. It's maybe we're transitioning into a mind pump talk, not even realizing it, is...
That never happens.
No. I mean, don't you think that it kind of degrades the sport a little bit? Because I think most fighters would even tell you, too, that, you know, there's a respect level. You competed at doing judo and stuff like that, and, you know, you even though it's a physical thing that you're doing with another man that you're competing against, you don't want disrespect or you don't want to make him feel. I mean, you both are giving it your A game. Well, and when you're done, it's like you shake hands and you move on. Like there's the sportsmanship of it.
Well, here's why I like fighting sports so much, and I always have. I don't like violence. And people think that's funny when I say that because I like fight sports so much. But if you think about it, there's an automatic level of respect when you agree to any set number of rules to fight someone. You're automatically showing respect. I'm automatically agreeing. It's honor, right? It's the old world honor. I'm automatically agreeing that I'm not going to kick you in the nuts.
You're going
by
a code instead of just
I'm not
going to
bite you. I'm not going to poke you in the eyeball. We've already agreed that we're going to try beating the shit out of each other, but there's a set number of rules and there's a guy in there that we have to listen to, the referee. And that kind of honor in something that's so primal to me, I find absolutely fascinating. It's the incredible dichotomy of human behavior where we take our primal instincts that are just, you know, because we are animals.
We revisit our animal nature, 100%.
But then we apply these rules to it to make it more of an intelligent, honorable type of thing. When in reality, we're trying to fight each other. We're just trying to, you know, I'm trying to hurt you. You're trying to hurt me.
Right.
But we've agreed to these rules. So that's one of the things I find fascinating about it. And personally, for me, I enjoy watching fights when two fighters don't hate each other, but when they respect each other, and then when they're incredibly competitive against each other, you know, when you see the fights where, like, who was it, Iceman, Chuck Liddell against Randy Couture?
Oh yeah, great fight.
You know, they respected each other, but hell no, was neither one of them going to let the other guy try and win.
Yeah, and each guy's trying to impose his will on his style.
So it's just these two incredible people with lots of honor and respect for each other. Going at it, to me, that's more exciting than watching two guys who hate each other want to fight. If I want to watch two guys who hate each other, you know, want to fight.
Go down to a local bar.
I'll go watch some fucking, I'll watch some shitheads go throw down and, you know.
Just watch Jerry Springer.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah. we should probably talk about fitness at some point.
Oh, this is a fitness show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know what?
You're tuning in for the first time, this is a fitness show.
This is a fitness show. Welcome to Mind Pump, where we talk about nothing for the first 10 minutes. I think we should revisit a subject we've touched upon a few times, but we get a lot of questions on in both the forum. I get questions on Instagram. I've seen some on yours, Adam, in regards to metabolic damage.
Oh.
You know,
good topic.
Yeah, I think it's a great topic because I think it's...
it's one we'll probably have to revisit several times, I imagine.
We will, because it's common. It's super common. And if you can't identify some of the signs of being in metabolic damage, and by the way, metabolic damage is also known as, or you'll hear people call it adrenal fatigue,
mm-hmm.
might be another term for it. You know, what are some of the signs and symptoms, and what can you do to remedy the situation? And why is it so difficult to get out of for people? So let's talk about some of those signs and symptoms. And what do you see in people? What do you guys see in people where you say, okay, they might have some metabolic damage going on?
Well, one of the first signs I know right away is when I have a client that I take on that, regardless of their weight and size, if they are significantly under eating and they're still struggling to lose weight. I mean, it's really obvious when someone who's 200 pounds and they're, you know, 30, 40 pounds overweight and they're only eating 1800 calories or less and their body is not moving. It's not, they're not losing any weight. I mean, just based off their weight alone, how much muscle and fat they have on their body and how much nutrients is needed to sustain that alone. If they are significantly underfeeding that and still not losing weight, then more than likely they've completely slowed their metabolism down. So that's a big indicator.
Yeah, just energy in general too. I mean, that's something I noticed. And this passionate drive to like keep hammering away, like especially cardio is like always a big issue that people come in. And the answer is like, it goes back to that answer of cardio is going to get me in better shape. And I have to really be strict and just hammer on that like completely. And they just never really allow for that pure recovery to happen. They're always filling in all the gaps. And unfortunately, it's great to kind of revert. If you have like an addictive personality, it's great to kind of divert that into something healthy, right? That's always like the case. However, you know, addictive things like getting into cardiovascular, like weight training and never allowing for proper recovery, I mean, that can be a real issue. And this is something that we have to address.
Well, I know. I mean, I see it quite a bit. Here's some of the symptoms, by the way, that you might want to identify in yourself. Okay. Excessive daily fatigue. Okay. So you exercise a lot. You eat really good. But you're freaking just exhausted every day, and you want to take a nap, and you can't figure out why. You're getting 8 hours of sleep, but you still feel tired. Low libido is another one. If your body is not healthy, one of the first things to go to disappear is your libido, because your body does not want to reproduce if it thinks you're in a state that's not healthy or you're in an environment where you can't support a human being, you know, producing another human being. Mood swings or depressed mood is another one. Anxiety is another one. Cold, hot temperatures. So if you find yourself being cold when you shouldn't be, even hot flashes are another example. But I find cold is another one. It's a big one where people's hands will be cold, their feet will be cold, even though it's, you know, 80 something degrees outside.
Anal leakage.
That's the other favorite thing. That's the other thing that you had. Oh, yeah. You still using that cream?
Yeah.
Is it working?
So, we got to clean his seat.
Fucking Adam.
he was sounding too much like a commercial. I had to throw him off there a little bit. You know, like, right? Is that like one of those commercials with all the side effects? If you're feeling this nausea, damn, this
Experience.
Is
it. Yeah.
If you're exercising a lot, eating a little bit, and your body simply is not progressing. And by the way, we've all heard the term starvation mode when the fitness industry tries to sell you on, you know, eating their protein bars and powders and don't go into starvation mode. Here's the thing. Here's what real starvation mode looks like. It actually looks more like metabolic damage. The body can adapt in pretty dramatic ways, and it will hold on. It will hold on to body fat if it feels like you're in a state where you're not in optimal health. And so the way that people try to fix this is they try to work out more. They try to work out harder. They try to reduce even more. And I'll get clients that'll come to me that'll say things like, you know, I only eat 1,400 calories a day. And when I go over by a couple hundred calories, I gain 3-4 pounds right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I work out every single day. I do Pilates. I do yoga. I lift weights. I run, you know, 4 miles a week. And I just feel horrible. And I can't figure out why my body's not responding. Your body is trying to hold on. And you're trying to fight your body. We've said this before.
Yeah.
If you fight your body, if you're trying to fight your body to
you'll
get...
lose.
You are going to fucking lose. Your body's going to win. I promise you. And eventually you'll get sick. I've even seen clients get stress fractures from constantly running, constantly pushing themselves and running more and more and more, trying to get leaner, and the body just breaks down and they'll get a stress fracture.
Well, being that exercise is a stress and everything else, like, do you see also like just the mental stress and workload and everything else from, cause a lot of the similar symptoms and effects, like I notice with people that are like way overworked in their job.
Oh yeah. That's a definite.
Yeah.
Most common for sure.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, and then that, and then they try and feel like I have to get healthy by hammering my body in the gym and then also restricting my calories. And it's just like, holy shit, that's amount of stress that you're putting on your body.
You know, in terms of like the competitive, you know, people who compete and present their physiques on stage and they'll diet for 12 weeks and get really shredded. They put themselves in metabolic damage while they're in their pre-contest to get on stage. But a lot of them are smart enough to know that they do that, they only do that 2 times a year.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, how many competitors have you seen compete one after another, and then find that they can't come in condition anymore?
Oh, it's very common. It's very common when they hit their fourth show or so in the year, they're like they're getting worse. They're regressing because their body's not as responsive as it was. And that's what it's crazy to me when I see it happen because it's so obvious to me. But even these pros going after it, they just don't get it. It's like, dude, you're writing the same formula for this body every single time. It's adapted. It's figuring it out. It's becoming efficient. So just because you think 2 hours of cardio and 900 calories did it for your first show, and kind of did it for your second and kind of did it for third, it's definitely not doing it for the fourth. You know, it's getting adapted. So I would say in athletes and in what Justin just said are probably, at least in my experience, 90% of the people that have metabolic damage. Mm-hmm. If you're fat and you're lazy, you're probably just fat and lazy. You're probably not metabolic damage. It's probably not you.
No.
If you sit on the couch all day and you eat McDonald's.
If you're like, I walk 30 minutes on Mondays and I can't lose 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And I stopped eating a large French fry. Now I have a medium.
Yeah. So if you're, exactly.
That's not metabolic damage.
If you're in the drive-thru right now and you're listening to us, okay, this is probably not you that we're talking about right now. So but it is very common with competitors, like what Sal was just mentioning and what Justin said about, which is probably the average person that I get the most. Is, you know, your male, female, CEO, manager, you know, entrepreneur, fucking 7-day-a-weeker work guy or girl, and they pretty much, they live their life full throttle. They work crazy hours, they're killers, they're grinders, and then they come in the gym, and when they hit the gym, they don't mess around, they kill it in the gym too, you know? And they understand they get the science of law of thermodynamics and calories in versus calories out.
That's all they focus on.
Exactly, right. And they know what's bad food and good food, and that's exactly all they focus on is sticking with good food, staying lower calories, push as hard as I can, and that's kind of the extent of their expertise or knowledge in the field, but they, unfortunately, it's not that easy. And it's especially not that easy as we get progress and get older. Cause as we get older, we deal with even other issues with hormonal levels and getting in there, like you said, with stress factors and releasing cortisol in the body. Things like that are going to, you know, affect somebody's metabolism already naturally. And then on top of that, if you've been yo-yo dieting, if you're somebody who goes up and down and up and down so many times, these things can all lead to metabolic damage. And the hardest thing to do with someone like that, the biggest thing I struggle with is they hire you. And at that point, they finally have thrown their hands up and they're like, fuck it, I can't figure it out. I'm gonna go bite the bullet and pay this expensive guy, right?
Well, I see a lot of this too is because like they look at it from a numbers perspective, and they look at it like you were mentioning, like calories in, calories out, and all this stuff. It all makes sense to them. Like everything's like very easy because it becomes a metric. It becomes a number. And I see that too with a lot of the metabolic damage, like people that I experience, like they're very like analytical, and they're breaking down like, you know, what exercises we're doing, how many reps we did, like everything to the T, you know. It's very like type A. And, unfortunately, like there really aren't a lot of metrics for all these other exterior factors, like, you know, how you're feeling. That your energy is going to fluctuate on a daily basis to begin with. I mean, yeah, you'd like to think you have control over that just with like what you're consuming, but you know, something will affect you that like a mood or somebody like, projects something, you know, to you that you take on that feeling. Like say, you know, somebody dies or something, and you have a whole totally different day. Like your body shuts down. There's just all these different factors in life that make it so you can't just count on those numbers.
Well, the thing is, the problem with this, with what we're talking about, is you can't quantify it. Like what Justin's saying, a lot of this is based off of feel. And unfortunately, I hate saying this because a lot of people with metabolic damage have horrible perception on their own bodies. It's so skewed that they have no idea that they feel like shit and that they're doing too much and eating too little. But you have to listen to your body. You have to feel your body. Mm-hmm. You have to be objective about it. How do I really feel? Because I've asked these people, like, how do you feel? Oh, I feel fine. I'm like, oh, really? You know, because while I'm looking at you, you got dark circles under your eyes, and I could tell your energy levels are low. You have to be very objective about how you feel and say, okay, you know, yeah, it is true. Right around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm fucking dragging ass so hard I have to drink an extra large, you know, coffee to pick my ass up and feel normal again.
And energy drinks totally like, you know, hammer this. Like that's the issue.
Right. And I'm doing everything right. I'm counting all my proteins, my fats, my carbs, my calories. I'm exercising every day. I'm doing weights. I'm doing cardio. And I don't know why it's so hard for me, my body, to change. Like, it just doesn't make sense. If you can say that to yourself, and you're honestly looking at everything, and you can say to yourself, this doesn't make sense, then you are spinning your tires in place, and we need to rebuild your metabolism. We got to get your body working with you again and not against you. Mm-hmm. And so here's some of the steps. Here's some of the first steps that I tell people. Step number one is cut your activity level dramatically. Reduce your activities. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I tell these people is, I don't want you to do any cardio, and I just want you to lift weights twice a week. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to lift weights twice a week and cut your cardio out. And the only kind of cardio I want you to do are, you know, maybe daily walks outside for 20 or 30 minutes.
Or some kind of meditative practice, right?
That's it. And when I say walk, I don't mean like I'm out hiking trying to burn calories. I mean you're going for a stroll outside, enjoying the outside weather or whatever, and just relaxing. And we'll start with that. Step two, I tell them to let's keep your calories where they are, because if we bump your calories right off the bat, you'll gain a bunch of weight, because again, we're dealing with a slower metabolism. So what I'll do is I'll change their macros, I'll reduce their carbohydrates, and I'll increase their fats, and I'll keep their proteins pretty moderate. Now why do we do that? We do that because fats are protective. Fats are good for nerve health, neuromuscular health. So the central nervous system, they're good for the brain, they're good for the joints. And the right kind of fats are also anti-inflammatory. Carbohydrates, in this particular case, we're reducing, number one, because we've reduced your activity level, mm-hmm. but also because I'm trying to reduce inflammation in your body. And that's kind of one of the first steps that I do. Then the next step I do is I'll take out common food intolerances. I'll remove sugar. Sometimes we'll remove gluten and dairy. just to get the body to have some things that are really easy for the body to assimilate mm-hmm. and work with. And then and then I start to remove their caffeine. And people hate that fucking part. I'll tell you that much right now. When I tell them, like, okay, we're going to have you, like, instead of drinking three coffees a day, we're going to move it to one. And then I move you to green tea. And then I move you to nothing. People really fucking hate that. Yeah. But the reason why we do that is the caffeine, their body has become now dependent on that caffeine to maintain a certain level of catecholamine production and to get stimulated. And if we have to slowly remove that to let the body rebuild the back to where it was. And believe it or not, when we reintroduce caffeine at a later date, it's much more potent at that point. You know, they'll have one coffee and it's strong as shit because they've let their bodies kind of rebuild. And then we monitor. We look on a weekly basis how you're feeling, what's going on. At that point, I'm not looking for weight loss. I'm not looking for anything. All I'm looking for is how do you feel? And as long as your weight is staying the same and you're feeling better, we're succeeding. Yeah. And then little by little, we might gradually increase your activity and put you on a more sustainable type of routine. But those are the things you need to do. And I'll tell you, and you guys in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. That is the hardest fucking thing to tell someone who is obsessed with exercise to do, is to tell them, because they think that, oh shit, I'm gonna gain 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
Well, this type of person too, I've been dealing with this with some of my clients that are super, super high in demand, no sleep, you know, they're traveling different countries, you know, CEO type. They actually have clinics that some doctor created, and basically it's this weight loss clinic, but all they do is they're basically treating metabolic damage, you know, on that level. So where, but they do it in an extreme way. So it's more like they completely make them eliminate all that stuff that you mentioned, like from the very beginning, which I feel is a flaw, because you're taking an extreme person and you're throwing them into an entirely other extreme that they're going to look at it as just hammering. I'm going to hammer this out. I'm going to do this. Yeah, like it
you go from
sucks.
One addiction to another.
It sucks to cut out caffeine because I got all these conference calls and all this kind of stuff, and I'm cranky, and then it just doesn't last. It's like a couple weeks in, and they're hammering to try and correct themselves like so hard. That
you have to take the client and take yourself. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're thinking that you have metabolic damage, you have to take into consideration it's a dramatic change, and you are less likely to adhere to any program if it's a dramatic change right off the bat. So that's why you want to go into stages. And the first stage is a reduction in the activity that you're doing. And by the way, I forgot to say this, and I want to make this very clear, because I've had people do this where I tell them, don't do cardio and lift twice a week. And so what do? They go to the gym twice a week and beat the shit out of themselves.
That's what I'm saying. It's the mentality. Yeah, so no. I guess even step A is to address that mentality.
Right.
You know, you have to come in with clarity that you're healing yourself. It's not that you're fixing something and like you're able to correct, because that's what I'm saying. This mentality of that type of person is very like controlling.
Yeah, no, right? No. You got to work out, lift weights, don't go to failure, do straight sets, no circuits, no supersets, straight sets. Go in, you lift, you rest, you lift, you rest. Don't go to failure, compound movements, full body workouts, 45 minutes long, twice a week, and that's it. You know, it's funny. I had a client like this a while ago, and she was, she was like the picture, the poster child for metabolic damage. She worked her ass off in the gym, ran, I think, like 10 miles or more a week on top of it, was watching everything she ate. I convinced her to scale everything back and just focus on weights for a little bit and do it right. And she was shocked. She was so shocked, she thought something was wrong, and she couldn't figure out what was going on, because all of a sudden she was getting leaner. You know, she's looking in the mirror, she's like, holy shit, all those areas that I had issues with getting leaner are now getting leaner, and I'm working out with one tenth of the amount of time that I was before. Like, how is this possible? You know, that was the attitude that she kind of gave me. The funny thing is, she kind of slipped back into her old habits, and now I'm working with her again to bring her out of it. So it's interesting, but it's easy. It's easy to get caught in that cycle, that cycle of, you know, constantly pounding yourself over and over again in the gym and really restricting your food intake. But you got to work with your body. You absolutely have to work with your body. you know, like I said, the carbohydrate and fat intake, you know, eat those recuperative fats, those fats from your grass-fed beefs, from, you know, eggs are a good source. Of course, fish, avocado, yeah. nuts, fish, those types of foods. Lots of vegetables, things that are that are recuperative, that are anti-inflammatory in the body. Very low grains. You don't need a lot of grains, especially if you've cut your activity levels drastically because we're trying to get your body built back up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat so many grains. First of all, you don't need them. You're not going to be doing all that cardio and shit you were doing before. But they can be inflammatory in people with these kind of issues. And if you're in this situation, they're probably inflammatory on you. I have another client who changed her diet and slowly but surely we took her out of metabolic damage. She's now so much drastically better that when she has a weekend out where she eats those inflammatory foods with sugar and stuff, she'll notice right away. She'll tell me, she'll be like, man, my neck hurts now. I'm stiff again in the areas I used to have pain, and I know exactly why. It's because over the weekend, I went wine tasting, had some bread, and then had some desserts. And now I can feel the inflammation. And she's like, and it's funny because I used to feel like this or worse all the time. I got so used to it, I thought that's the way I always felt, and it wasn't a big deal.
Well, then too, like, I mean, you said lower the movement activity and all that, and I totally agree with that. However, I would also suggest that you, you know, could spend that time in a more meditative state by flexibility, by, you know, yoga, like you're still moving, but you're doing it in such a fluid way that it's not really, it's restorative. It's a different mindset. So yes, you definitely need to still, you know.
So not power yoga.
Great point. Justin, I was waiting to touch on the neat factor.
Yeah. Like rest is not, go ahead. But rest is not just sitting on your ass.
Yeah. You know, so perfect. Like Sal said, I would drop you down to 2 to 3 times a week tops. But then, you know, the other way I'm going to try and counter, you know, the reduce of your high intensity working out, because you've kind of shot ourselves in the foot. You've taught your body to be used to that pounding in order to stay the same with those calories. And so I am concerned you'll shoot right up when I cut all that out. So the next thing I do, and that I know this is where I normally focus on step goals with my clients. So I'll assess how many steps they're taking a day, and I'll give them, you know, hey, now we're going to step 3,000 to 4,000 more steps a day, which sounds like a lot, 3,000 to 4,000, but that's literally like 25 to 30 minutes of walking, consistently walking. So, you know, focusing on the neat factor to help, you know, keep that metabolism going and them not completely slow down their calorie expenditure. The other thing that I want to revisit that Sal said that I think is such an important point, if you're listening to this and you're somebody who has metabolic damage or going through it, probably, you know, this would be a good video for you. I did a YouTube channel way back when I thought it was a good idea. And then I thought it was kind of silly afterwards. And then I regretted stopping it because it would have been neat to have kept it going all the way through this process. But what I did do is I did record the first, I think it was 30 or 60 days of my, you know, transformation from fat to fit. And probably the number one thing that I, you know, talked about in those videos was, you know, the want to, being a trainer, being the athlete, being somebody who's going from eating bad food, being sedentary, wanting to go balls to the wall, but then making sure I don't do that. And in fact, I wanted to lose body fat, but yet my goal was actually to increase the amount of food that I was eating, which sounds crazy, but I wanted to replace all the shit calories that I was getting, and I wanted to get more nutrient-rich food. So I wanted to keep my calories about the same or even a little bit more, but just more nutrient-rich foods, and then just cancel out what I'm the extra intake by, you know, activity. And, you know, and it's hard because you get going and, you know, you've been pounding away at the weights, or you've been consistent with your eating, and 2 weeks goes by, you know, and I didn't want to see any fluctuation on the scale up or down, you know. And in fact, if I saw any fluctuation, I wanted to see go up, even though the ultimate goal is to reduce body fat and ultimately come down. But I knew at the very beginning that it was so important for me to, you know, fix my metabolism. Because even though I may not have had a metabolic damage, I definitely, you know, had changed my metabolism over the last year and a half of being sedentary, because I had stopped working as a trainer where I'm moving around all day. And I went to a job where I'm sitting behind a desk for 10 to 12 hours for 6 days a week. So it completely changed. And then I'm eating all this garbage food every single day, even though I was still kind of working out here and there. But I talk to the camera a lot about this, these feelings that I have of wanting to push and wanting to do this, you know, and then, but being okay with, you know, hey, my first workout was 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes, that's it. And, you know, I got on the treadmill and I walked for 10 minutes and I talk about these things that seem like, you know, talked about being over in with the silver weights, you know, bicep curling and shoulder pressing and doing things with like 5-pound, 8-pound dumbbells that are so light, but it's like, I don't need any more than that right now. My body's not used to any of this stimulation. And ultimately right now it's about fixing the metabolism and my body working with me versus against me. And I've been working against my body for so long for poisoning it and not being active. I don't need to go to the other extreme of so perfectly eating and so perfectly working out at super high intensity. I want to progress myself to that. And
you have to remind people, like, you know, exercise, it's if you do it right, it simply serves as a stimulus for your body to change. And if it's like anything else, it's like any other stimulus. It's like the sun, you know, stimulates my skin to get darker. Well, if I've been living in a basement for 10 years and I go outside, it's not going to take much sun exposure to get my skin to adapt. And if I overexpose it, which at that point might be 15 minutes,
third degree burn,
I'm going to get a sunburn. So, you know, you have people with metabolic damage, and what's happening with those individuals is they've pushed their bodies so hard for so long with the reduced calories on top of it for so long that their body's in a constant state of survival. It's in a constant state of efficiency. I need to be really efficient with these little bit of calories, and I need to just worry about just keeping the body from completely breaking down. I can't even think about adapting. I can't even think about building muscle or burning body fat. I'm just trying to survive. And that's what I mean by fighting your body. You're fighting your body. Your body just wants to survive, and you're pushing it harder trying to get it to adapt, which is the opposite. The harder you push, the more it's going to try and survive.
Yeah.
So hopefully that makes sense to people listening right now.
I used to always give this analogy that if I was taking a car and I'm driving it from here down to LA, so for those of you people that have no idea what that distance is, you know, that's probably what a 5-6 hour drive, right, for us. So if you're driving this car from here down LA and you have not put any gas in it, it's got the oil has been well overdue. The timing is off on the timing belt and it has 3 flat tires. Driving that shit down to LA is going to be a pain in the ass. More than likely, you're going to spend a majority of your time pushing it. I mean, it's not going to actually run. But if you spent more time making sure that the car is primed and it's running well and efficient, the amount of time it's going to take you to get to that ultimate goal or down to LA is going to be a lot faster, even if you're somebody who left first in those 3 flat tires and all that stuff that's not fixed on the car. So the body's the same way. You know, if you don't take care of all the systems and all the things that it needs.
Or you'll get there and it'll be broken.
Yeah, exactly, right? You could literally push. It's possible. You could push a car down to LA. It might take you months or whatever to finally get there.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're probably like, fuck this, I ain't going anywhere else.
It's such a good point because, you know, if you're in metabolic damage, you feel like shit right now. You feel frustrated, plus you feel like shit. You literally feel like shit. This is your body talking to you. If you don't listen to your body, here's what it does. Your body speaks to you. It tells you you need to chill out. You need to eat a little more. You need to reduce the intensity. If you ignore your body, it stops talking and then it starts yelling at you. And what ends up happening is you either get injured or you get ill. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it a million times. The person, they just won't slow down. They're forced to slow down. Boom. Yeah. Next thing you know, they're injured. Now I can't do shit. Now I just got to sit around trying to heal whatever.
I got pneumonia or something crazy.
Yeah, like I got a cold and it turned into fucking pneumonia.
Yeah.
You know, my immune system was shot. And so that's what happens. You got to listen to your body. Your body will win if you try to fight it. We've had people now, you know, who have enrolled in our program, you know, the MAPS Anabolic Workout Program, for example. And the program, when you look at it from face value, if you're the kind of person that works out all the time like a maniac and overdoes it all the time, you're going to look at the program and initially it's going to say 2 to 3, maybe 3, real gym workouts in the gym. And we call those foundational workouts. Those are the harder, you know, workouts you're actually doing where you're lifting heavy and you're doing more of the traditional workouts. And I'll have people write me. They'll get the program, they'll write me, they'll be like, Sal, I've been doing a 6-day body part split for 5 years and you want me to work out twice a week? I'm going to modify. I'm going to do this 5 days a week. And I'll say, no, do exactly what it says and watch what happens. Because it sounds crazy to them, right? Well, I've been doing it. And then I'll ask them, well, how much progress have you made in the last 6 years since you've been doing the split? Yeah. Well, I made a little bit of progress. Okay. why don't we try this out? What's the worst that could happen? You go back on your split and you're fine. So let's just try it out for a second. And every single time they do this, you know, literally 3-4 weeks. That's not that long. 3-4 weeks. I'll get an email. Holy shit, I'm lifting more weight than I've ever lifted before. Oh my God, I feel great. I'm sleeping good. My body's changing. This is weird.
Or you're like me and you get into that and like you, the athlete comes in like those trigger session days. Like I started to use the rubber bands like I would super heavy weights. And I'm like, wrecking my way through it 3 times a day. Yeah. And you know, and it's just like it's counterproductive, you know. Like once I and I voiced that to you guys, and you're like, "Dude, calm down, okay? You got to use that like it's intended." And then I started to do that, and it 100% made a difference going into my compound lifting days. And you just are never going to experience that unless you can shut that mechanism off in your brain and you listen to your body and you do exactly what your body needs. And a lot of times that's just to recover.
There's no doubt in my mind that a good hack, because we've had people who've done that program and have given us, you know, have told us about just amazing results. Pictures, especially on the forum, people are posting pictures. There's no doubt in my mind that a large percentage of that, a decent percentage of that success is due to the fact that these people were overdoing it before. I, of course, a much larger percentage has to do with the fact with the program just being the way it's designed and how effective it is. But there's a good chunk of that is because they were just overdoing everything before. They go to this program, and now their body has switched from surviving to adapting, and boom. We got a guy on there right now who's been, what did he say on there? 15 years, Doug? Is that what he said? 15 years he's been doing body part splits? And this is like week 3, and he's like, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to go back.
Yeah,
you know, and this is a guy who's a personal trainer, respected, knows his shit. I've gone on his Instagram page, knows his shit. He's a smart guy. He looks good, but his body now is starting to respond to this because he probably was even. We all fall into this trap, kind of overdoing it. But I'm telling, and you know, I don't know. Do you guys notice more women than men tend to get trapped in this metabolic damage?
Yeah, I would say it's more. That's hard to say though, because I think 60-80% of our clientele is female already, so we're already the men are already.
We definitely have to address it with the women, for sure. Yeah, because I mean, I just notice it from a body image maybe perspective, or like trying to correct things with cardio and all. That's why I brought that up, because a lot of times, for some reason, that's fed into the mindset that. You know, if I eat this, then I have to, you know, run this off.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes this constant sort of hamster wheel that it has to keep on this like super intense scale.
I've seen it in both, but I do see it more in women, and it becomes more pronounced in women. And there's no science behind it yet. And look, let's just disclaimer, okay? Metabolic damage, adrenal fatigue, whatever you want to call it, there is no science supporting it yet. And I say yet because it's like gut health or other types of emerging types of science that are coming out now. You will start to see more and more supporting it. But right now in the industry, for us trainers who've been doing this for a long time, we've seen it. We know it. We can identify it. It's a real thing. So, but it's just not a medically accepted terminology yet. Like if you go to your doctor and you say, "Hey, I have, you know, metabolic damage," he's going to look at you like crazy.
Yeah, he'll be like, "What the fuck?"
But adrenal fatigue?
No, they won't.
Still in the gray.
No,
yeah.
You'll get some internal, like internal medicine specialists who will talk about it. But it's still not.
They'll probably give you some pill for anal leakage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I have a theory with why I think women might suffer from it
death.
A little more, and I think it has to do with the hormones. I think men just have higher levels of anabolic hormones. But I do also think that women's bodies are more sensitive to holding on to, maybe certain amount of body fat simply because they are the ones that have babies. They're the ones that have to have children. So I think their bodies are a little more sensitive towards that. And that might be why, I don't know, I personally have seen it much more with women and men. And in terms of correcting it, the formula is the same in terms of correcting it. Although I do get a lot of pushback from women. I think they just freak out. They're really scared about cutting back those workouts. I don't want to gain 10 pounds by next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's definitely a generalization, but I feel like, you know, the worry factor, it tends to be a little bit higher, you know, on the female end, like when I have clients and stuff, like so worried, you know, constantly about like so many things. And that just anxiety creates like even more stress. And I don't know, it just it tends to compound.
Well, here's how I found success with that, with clients that I've had to work through metabolic damage. I literally have to stay in touch with them every single day because they're that's how freaked out they are about stopping their shit. So literally, I will text them every day. How do you feel today?
Yeah.
How's everything look? Mm-hmm. What, you know, oh, I went on the scale. I didn't gain any weight. Good. But how do you feel? I think I feel a little bit better. And I have to constantly be in their ear on a daily basis because it's so ingrained in the brain.
You got to reiterate.
Oh, my God. And constantly. I'll get questions all day long. Are you sure that this is the right thing to do? And maybe I shouldn't eat as much fat because I think I might gain body fat. Or maybe I should. And I got to constantly be with them and walk them through. But eventually it all works out. You just gotta trust
them. They just get like hammered so much harder with marketing, I think, than men.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like, just about their body, like, just constantly getting hammered. So, I feel like, you know, that has to play a factor.
Well, the opposite for each sex, right? So, if you look at your covers of magazines and stuff like that, it's normally like this for females, it's this skinny, borderline anorexic, you know, tall model. And for men, it's like this overly steroided buff dude. You know what I'm saying? So the body images that are out there for, what's the ideal for men and ideal for women are like such polar opposites. Well, and one supports a lot more calories in food than the other one. So
correct. Because when men are marketed to, they're marketed to eat a lot more, eat a lot more protein, lift weights, but let your body rest and grow.
Yeah. No guy really likes to be told, oh, you look lean. You look a little smaller. Yeah. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Smaller?
Yeah. No, I hate that when I'm dieting and then someone will be like, did you lose weight? No. The word is leaner.
Yeah.
The word is leaner.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't lose weight.
You look shredded. Yeah. Cut.
So, if you have any more questions on this, we'll probably end up doing more episodes because this comes up so much.
Well, what about, is our program right now discounted still?
Our program is still discounted. You could go to mindpumpradio.com. The programs that we have available with the bundle include the workout programs, include nutrition survival guide, pretty much everything you'll need, but they are perfect. If you're in metabolic damage, enroll in the program, start in the pre-phase section of the MAPS program, do two foundational workouts a week. That's perfect for people in metabolic damage. Yeah. Absolutely perfect. It's perfect for everybody. But if you're in metabolic damage, enroll in it and just follow it exactly what it says, and it'll move you out.
And eat phase one of the nutrition guide for sure. That's where you're
just
at.
Just stick with your nutrient rich foods and
just balancing
color
out.
And just focus on that.
Exactly. Oh, and don't forget before we sign off here, please rate and review us on iTunes. Helps us move up in the rankings.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.